Good morning. Everybody find a seat and be real comfortable. Well, we're glad to have each one here this morning, whether you're here in the service or you're listening on the radio or on YouTube or whatever. We're just glad you're here. We don't have a lot of things in the announcements. Now, I hope that you have all picked up the We Believe book, because it's very interesting. I've been in the church for my whole lifetime, and I learned a lot reading that book. And I gotta say, I've read the whole book, so I don't have to keep up with you guys. But if you haven't picked one up, please do so, because I think it's very, very good. We also want to remind you of the chili cook-off, which is on January 30th, following church. So if you have got your best recipes, make them. I think they got to sign up that they're bringing it, don't they? Okay. Want to make sure I'm correct. Okay. Don't have a lot of other things. We have a lot of people that are hurting in the church, on the prayer list, and I think there's prayer sheets out in the narthex that you can pick them up and hear about them. We've had a couple deaths here in the community in the last couple of days. I don't want to mention them because I don't know how much is out. So, but we do have some people that need to be remembered. If there's anybody else got anything, just let us know. And with that, we're going to go to prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come to your house to worship this morning. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son, who you sent into the world to live and to die that we might have eternal life. The fact that just his doing that doesn't do it unless we're willing to accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. And then we have the opportunity to be with you in paradise forever. And Father, we just ask you remember Tim this morning as he speaks. Give him words and thoughts that come from you, and let him be your spokesman, that everything he says is from you. Now we ask that you would be with the music and those that are here today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you.
We turn to you.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Away. Hosanna, Hosanna.
are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God.
You restore every heart that that is broken. And great are you, Lord.
It's your breath in our lungs.
So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life, you have love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord.
Let your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing,
great are you.
Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
It's your breath
in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise.
It's your breath
in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Great are you,
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Cold? You know what? I see that. That was a cold morning to myself walking in. Are we there now? I'm not muted on here. You got to love technology first thing on a Sunday morning. Give me great things. Oh, look at that. There I am. All right. I can hear myself. No, it was definitely a cold morning this morning. But I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to see all of you and everybody who was able to make it this morning. And I hope you are as excited as I am. I just want to remind everybody real quick, 2 weeks ago I mentioned if you guys have questions about the Bible, faith, anything pertaining to what we outside of even the We Believe series or that you have about God, go ahead and put that on notes on the bottom of your bulletin and turn them into the offering plates. And I've already gotten a couple responses back from some of you, and I'm really enjoying the questions that have came in. And this will kind of help us with a future series that we're looking at. And this morning we're going to be kicking off the We Believe series. And as Dave mentioned, please grab one of those booklets if you've not done so already. They're free for the taking. Feel free to grab one. So, but before we get into this morning's message, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to get together and to worship and to praise you. Father, I ask that you just take over this message and that it's your message and not mine. Father, I ask that it's your words that are spoken and not mine. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, I pray that it falls on deaf ears. As we start this new series this morning, I want to start off with a passage in 1 Peter 3:15. And I want to share this with you guys because it's a passage that I want to encourage you all to try to remember throughout the next several weeks as we do this. So the passage is, "But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. And I feel this passage is important because we are called to, as Christians, always needing to be ready to explain what we believe, why we believe it, and what that hope is that Christ has put inside each one of us. This isn't just for pastors and teachers. It's for everybody to be able to explain the hope that God has given us. And that brings us to the subject of today. The first one that we're going to be looking at is God. What do we believe about God? When we hear the word God, what do you think? For many people around the world, when they hear the word God, there's very different images that pops to their mind than what might happen if it was you or I. There's many different religions throughout our community, country, and world. They range from large global religions down to small ones. For the large ones, we often think of course, Christianity. We have Judaism, Muslims, Hindu, Buddhists. On the smaller side, we have Sikhism, Jainism, Rastafari. One that most of you probably have not heard of before, Baha'i. And then we could even add in Scientology to this concept. And then we go all the way down to the little bitty tribal religions, with only a few people within a small area that practice them. But they all have something in common, with a few exceptions. They have this idea of a God, an omnipotent spirit or being, something that placed the world into order, something that created life itself, someone to worship, revere, and respect. They may not understand what or who God is, as no one has told them. Yet it's within each person knowing there is a God and that there is someone there to be worshipped. In Romans 1:19 through 20, it tells us, since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is his eternal power and divine nature, have clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. The idea that God has created everything is within each one of us. The idea that there is a God is within each of us. In Romans 2, 14 and 15, it even says, when the Gentiles, who do not by nature have the law, do what the law demands, there are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. In verse 15, it says, they show that the work of the law is written in their hearts. Their conscience confirms this. Their competing thoughts either accuse or even excuse them. If we look at the religions around the world, we'll see often that murder is one of those things that they're not okay with. Stealing is something that they're not okay with. You look through and there's a lot of these different attributes that you find similarities because God has written it within our hearts to do that. And every person has that knowledge. The problem is that nobody has shown them who the one true God is, though we know they have this desire. Many of these other religions require absolute perfection out of each person. They have to follow the letters of their laws and rules to the absolute perfection. In fact, it's often bondage that keeps them down and keeps them from experiencing the freedom that we know can be found through Christ. These different views of God are not unique to other religions, though. These are often those that even people who use the title Christian struggle with when defining God. They have their own view of God that does not line up with the Bible. We often run into this with all types of people. If we asked 100 people to explain their view of God, you would most likely get over 100 different answers. There may be similarities between it, but we often project our own view of what we want God to be instead of who God actually is. Or is it the view that someone told us that God is growing up? Some of these views, if we look at out and we talk to different Christians, we're going to find different views of God, some of them being like the genie in a bottle idea. The idea that God just is a genie wanting to grant all our wishes. That if we believe just enough, anything we want, God will make happen. The problem here is, though, what happens when that person who believed in this genie idea cried out to God for a miracle and it didn't happen how they believed it would happen? Now they're debating if God is real or they're doubting if they ever had enough faith. The next would be the wrathful God, the idea that God is nothing but full of wrath, and if you don't do what he wants to the T, he's going to smite you off this earth. I like that word, by the way, smite. But he's going to smite you right off the earth. We've got churches such as the Westboro Baptist Church. I'm sure some of you guys have heard them before. They were the protesters going out and telling everybody they're going to hell. Didn't matter who they were talking to, everyone was going to hell. And this one turns people off because they see no grace in it. It doesn't fit the God of the Bible. If someone sees no hope in the image of God that you're portraying, are you really showing God? And then there is the super lovey God. I'm not talking that God doesn't love us. The Bible tells us over and over again that God loves us. But I'm talking about the one that there is no sin. We can do whatever we want and not worry about anything is a God that's represented. The problem with this one is you want to look somebody in the eye and explain why they didn't make it to heaven because you told them they can do whatever they want and indulge in as much sin as they want and that there's no consequences for not fully surrendering to God. Romans 6, 1 and 2 tells us, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Paul responds, absolutely not. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Once we've changed and we've accepted God, we've accepted Christ, we don't continue to just indulge in sin. These ideas of different gods are nothing new. Paul actually ran into this issue in Athens. There are the people there that say that Athens had more God than people in it. There was more different gods presented throughout that entire town than what people were. It's a place where many people shared different ideas and shared and openly talked about different views on their beliefs. And if we go to Acts 17, for those who want to follow along this morning, we're actually going to read through some of what Paul dealt with. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed when he saw the city was full of idols. Verse 17, it says, so he responded in the synagogue with the Jews and with those who worship God, as well as in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Verse 18 says, some of the philosophers also debated with him. Some said, what is this ignorant show-off trying to say? Others replied, he seems to be a preacher of a foreign deity because he was telling them the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Verse 19 says, they took him and brought him to the, basically that's the stadium area, that we may learn about his new teaching you are presenting. Verse 20 says, because they what you say sounds strange to us. We want you to know what these things mean. In 21, it says, now all the Athens and the foreigners reside there, spent their time on nothing else but telling or hearing something new. Paul is being given an opportunity to talk to them all. All they wanted to do was learn. In verse 22 to 23, it says, Paul stood in the middle of Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect. For as I was passing through and observed the objects of worship, I even found an altar which was inscribed to an unknown God. Therefore, what you have worshipped in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. You see, this is what the people were looking for. They were looking for the one true God. It was at this place that they put an altar of an unknown God. They knew that there was something greater out there than what they had. They just didn't know what it was. Paul proceeded to give them a breakdown of who God is, and as a great reminder for us on how to answer this question when someone asks, who is God? Acts 17, verse 24, Paul starts off with, the God who made the world and everything in it is our Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in shrines made by hands. God made everything in this world. He made everything. He made you and I. And we can't place him in a box. We can't place him in a building. We can't contain him how we would contain other things. God made everything. In verse 25, neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. God doesn't need anything. He's the one that gave us life. The Bible tells us that he knew us before we were in our mother's womb. God placed everything into action. Verse 26, it says, from one man he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and boundaries of where they live. God created man in the beginning, and from there everyone else came from. God has placed this world into order, into perfect order. He created countries, people groups, and everything in it. And throughout that whole creation, he allowed us to make the decision on what we wanted to do. In verse 27, it says, he did this so that they might seek God, and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. See, God wants to reach each and every one of us. He wants each one of us to reach out to him. God of the Bible is one of the most unique things when it comes to any God in any form of religion out there. See, God wants to commune with us. If we look at other religions, we look at other faiths, and we look at their view of God, it's always about them serving that God. It's always about that God being at a distance. It's always about what do they have to sacrifice physically, emotionally, and every other way. But the God of the Bible, the one true God, the one who set the universe in motion, he wants a relationship. He wants to spend time with us. And one of the most amazing things is, though, he won't force himself on any of us. He gave us the choice to choose him. And the even better news is, when we're ready to choose him, we don't have to go far because he's standing right there. We just simply need to be willing. Verse 28 and 29, for in him we live and move and have our beings. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings. Since then we are God's offspring, shouldn't we think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image fashioned by human art and imagination? We need to remember that we are made in God's image. If we look back through that little bit of a passage there, in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it says that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and every creature in the crawls on earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God, and he created them male and female. I want you guys to think about that for a second. How special is that? Of all of creation, God decided to make us, of his entire creation, us, in his image. He could have made anything else in his image, but he chose to make us in his image. Acts 17, verse 30 says, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all the people everywhere to repent." I think this is a very important statement that Paul makes. This is a clear statement that God will overlook our past mistakes. And God will not hold us to what we've done in the past. As long as we are willing to turn back to him, all is forgiven. There is nothing so bad that you have done in your past to cause God not to be willing to take you back. There's nothing that he will not overlook because Jesus already paid it all. The payment's been made. The sacrifice is done. Verse 31, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. God is going to judge everybody at the end. The day will come. May not be today. May not be tomorrow. But it's coming. There will be a day when we all have to stand in front of God and answer for the mistakes that we have made. But the good news is, for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we no longer have to fear that, because there's been a way already made. If we look back on that verse we just read, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world righteousness by the man he has appointed. Jesus is that righteousness. And we know that if we are in Jesus and covered in his blood, God has already handled the punishment that we deserve. He's already judged us by Jesus' perfection. How great is that? Verse 32 to 34, it says, when they had heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to ridicule him. But others said, we'd like to hear from you again about this. So Paul left their presence. However, some people joined him and believed, including Dennius, the Ebergite, and the woman named Demarius, and the others with them. Not everyone will believe. That is something I want to be clear here. Not everyone, when you tell them about God, will believe. That's not our job to change their minds. It's simply to present Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Paul pointed out this throughout his entire thing, that God is the creator of the universe. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. It's through him that we have everything. It's through him that we are reunited with him. It's through him that we see who we are, who God has made us. But we also know there is but one God. We know there's only one God because the Bible tells us there is only one God. Deuteronomy 6:4 tells us, listen, Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. This means that God alone is God, and there is only one that people should listen to. One of the unique things of Christianity and God that we have, the one true God, is that God has chosen to reveal himself in three forms, yet lives complete in unity with himself. This is often called the triune God, or the Trinity, or Godhead. And there are three identities here. We have God the Father, who would be the creator and the founder of the world. We have God the Son, otherwise known as Jesus, also referred to at times as the Word. We have the Spirit of God, which we also call the Holy Spirit. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll get into the uniqueness of each one of these. But we see all three being represented when Jesus was baptized. In Matthew 3, 16 and 17. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming down on him. Verse 17 says, and the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I well pleased. One of the unique things between the idea of Trinity, and we use that word to help us better understand God, is common mistakes that are made when we're looking at that is that the Trinity is not three individuals who together make one God. The Trinity is not three gods joined together, and it's not three properties of God. The idea is one God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is exactly one God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. The Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit. There is exactly one God. There are three really distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of the persons is God. And one of the most unique things is God can be all three at the same time. We may wonder, how can any of this be? And it's one of those things that we can wrestle with over time. But I just want to point something out. We are talking about the creator of the universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who placed everything into motion. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is greater than anything our minds can comprehend and exists beyond our own ability to perceive. Yet God has chosen to reveal himself in the form of what we often call Trinity. God is all-knowing, and he's the source of all truth. He is all-powerful, and we believe that God is holy. Holy meaning to be separated and opposed to evil. I know I've given you guys a lot of information this morning. Some of you may even be on a little bit of overload. I will understand that. You should have seen the amount of things I read this week preparing for this. But I wanted to take a minute because part of we believe is I want to give you guys little nuggets that you can carry with you as you go out and better be able to explain what you believe and why. So I gave you guys the big rundown. Here's the real short one. I want to share a little bit this morning on that. And if someone comes to me and asks me real quickly to explain God, this is what I would say. God is the creator of the universe. He's the sustainer of all life. Nothing in this world exists without him. Everything was placed into motion with him. God is a holy God, having nothing to do with evil and opposed to it. God is a jealous God that wants nothing more than to have a relationship with each one of us. In fact, he is so jealous that he was willing to become man himself, come down to this earth, take on the form of man, and die a sinner's death to make a way for you and I to be restored to him, so that no man or woman would be left behind. God is a loving God, one that loves his entire creation and everything in it, and it doesn't matter what you and I have done in life. He's still standing there with arms wide open for each of us to repent and turn back to him. That is my basic summary when I think of God. That is what I want you guys, if anything, to remember today, is that little breakdown. That God loves each one of us, no matter where we've been. He just wants us to turn back to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this morning and this opportunity we had to get together and to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that we just take in what we have learned this morning, that we may grow in knowledge with you, and that we may seek you in everything that we do. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
I need thee.
May God bless each and every one of you as you go out this week. May you remember to put Him first in all that you do, and remembering that we are examples to the world around us of who God is. God bless. Have a great day.